Do you believe in ghosts? What do you think of spiritualist seances? Are there devils? Are there demons? Where does all of this talk come from? We're going to find out that it comes from a very long time ago and is very, very well documented in Vedic literature. We're speaking again with Gauralila Dasa, also known by his civil name as Guido von Arx, at his home in Zurich, Switzerland. Ghosts, spirits, and demons. For you, Gauralila, there's no doubt they exist.
I very much think so.
Why are you so convinced?
It's one of those logical things which seem to be quite normal when you understand that it's not just the gross physical forms or bodies existing which you perceive with your own eyes, but even within us we have more subtle aspects, elements. And I wouldn't just limit the ghosts and spirits and demons to some faraway mystical or mysterious planets or planes, but they can also very much be within us.
What you're saying, and of course the Vedas teach us this, there are far more entities that are not visible to us than we can actually see. The ones with bodies, the incarnate entities, are really the minority, aren't they?
I'm not so much aware of how much in quantity those subtle elements are, but there are a lot of human beings which are beyond the physical plane as we can perceive with our senses, like plants and animals and human beings. And we probably will talk about them in the time to come now. But the quantity is huge, but I'm not in a position to tell you exact figures.
You just said something that surprised me. There are forms or orders of human beings that we can't see. Who are they?
No, they're just similar to human beings. Mm-hmm. But generally, when we talk about human beings, we refer to those living in a physical body. However, if a human being dies, or to put it in more correct words, when a soul leaves a human body, then the subtle body, which has also very often a very similar form to the physical body, carries on, and these are the spirits of the dead people, which is just one category of more subtle living entities.
Before we proceed, I think everyone understands what a demon is. Let's leave that alone for the moment. But we hear two sometimes interchanged or interchangeable terms, ghosts and spirits. But are they really the same?
Yes and no. Both what they have in common is that they're living entities or spirit souls in a subtle body, which generally cannot be perceived with our blunt senses, our eyes. However, within those subtle bodies, there are different groups. Actually, according to the Vedas, if I recall correctly, there are about 14 different groups, main groups, so to say, above human beings, which exist in higher dimensions, sometimes even in semi-dimensions, which we cannot see, and some of them are ghosts, some of them are spirits. One thing I just want to make sure at this very moment now is that the duality, which we also perceive within, I would say, even plants, certainly also among the animals and the humans, carries on up to a very, very high degrees of living entities, where some of them are so-called good, or in goodness, or godlike, divine, and some are the pure opposite. They're, as you use the term, demoniac or ungodly.
Now, the duality, this means good, bad.
Exactly.
The contrast, the
right,
extremes.
Right. It's not that someone who is in a more subtle or higher evolved body, that naturally he must be divine. Many people have some experience with those more subtle living entities, often are shocked that some of them have very humane or very narrow-minded or very egoistic or demoniac elements as well, even though they may have much more higher powers than we human beings have.
Recalling our other discussions about the law of karma and also reincarnation, we remember that what form we come back in a new life depends to an extent on our karma. But we also recall that when a soul gets purified, so to speak, reaches the highest state of development it can in this physical life, it goes back to God, does not have to return in a body again. Are these
in the physical body?
The physical body, exactly. Are these the angels that we hear about, the good spirits that so many talk about?
Yeah, but angels are like general assistant of living entities living on this planet or some even on higher planets. But they are not like fully liberated souls. They're not like directly God sent. However, these are souls which have developed in the evolution of consciousness to a much higher level than we human beings are. Generally, you're not becoming directly from a human being into an angel. There are a little bit complex hierarchies, who can do what and when, and even within the hierarchy of the angels, there are many different groups. The lower they are, the closer they are to, let's say, the human beings they protect or guide. However, the more limited abilities, power they have to guide or protect or support them.
Are all angels good?
Yeah. And when we, these are of course terms. Any term can be interpreted differently, and you can talk about bad angels or evil angels, but generally an angel embodies goodness. He's a servant of the light of God. He's there to assist and help as much as possible within the limits of the karma, within the limits he has or she has, within the orders and laws of the universe. But an angel is an assistant and a helper, especially in difficult times. Angels have more work because people are suffering more. They cannot really change the karma, but they could help with, let's say, more subtle emotions, subtle assistance, to bear your karma, your fate better, and regain hope for your ultimate goal of returning back to God.
Can they be teachers? Can they give us guidance to help us find the right way, so to speak?
And they use, of course, many different ways. One, however, has to be a little careful. They can use other human beings. They can even take up a form of a human being. They can manifest themselves.
They can incarnate if they wish.
Well, yeah, they can manifest bodies just for temporary purposes. They can appear in dreams. They can manifest through emotions, feelings, thoughts we have. They also have a lot of humor when it is required. But they are servants. They consider themselves servants of the Lord and servants of the human beings, and are very unhappy when someone mistakes them to be, you know, divine in that sense. They do the job.
They're helpers.
Yeah, but with a good heart.
We hear this term all the time, a guardian angel. Is that a special angel, or are all angels guardian angels, so to speak?
Guardian angels generally refer to those angels we have a particular person or a smaller group of persons to guard or to protect or be around them. There are very much, as I said before, the closer they are with the human beings they protect or guide, the less power they generally have. However, they're closer, and the higher they are in the group, the more knowledge, power they have, but they have also more angels and more human beings under them.
But there are guardian angels then, and are they assigned to us, so to speak, to look out for us, to help us, to protect us against harm, as is the common notion?
Not, they may protect us against harm, but their job is, because they cannot really change our karma, but they may, when certain things are unavoidable, and they know that certain things can be avoidable, and then those angels or guardian angels try, you know, as best they can to open our eyes and show us what is going to happen. But ultimately, they also respect and, of course, have and want to respect our free will. And they also know that many of us can only learn through suffering. But their main job is, when we suffer, when we have bad things, to again open the dark tunnel with some light, with some hope, and give us, through different, more subtle energies and light channels, a new inspiration to carry on.
In other words,
they're not interfering with fate and karma. Mm-hmm.
But they try to influence us in a positive
way to help us. Not influence. Mm. Influence always a little bit has the aspect of manipulation, and that's not there.
But I can imagine that these angels have a wide range of tools, so to speak, at their disposal. They could come as a thought impulse, a strong notion. Suddenly a voice told me to do something. I did, and I'm happy I did. It could be an event which happens to us, and if we look at it the right way, we can grow from that event. It could be bumping into an old friend. It could be meeting someone on the street who just has, as C.G. Jung would say, synchronistic connections with us and suddenly offers us just what we need to know. Are you saying that these are all the actions of angels?
No. There are many people who try to have influence on us living beings on Earth. And we can come back to that more dualistic element. Those with similar powers like angels, like we see within the human plane, there are so many different human beings. Some are very, very divinely inspired. Some are the pure opposite. And there's a huge in between, huge mass of people in between who have both, which I think we have experience of them mainly.
It reminds me, in a way, of like an army with so many different ranks and positions and hierarchy. It is a bit like this. Is that so?
Well, the army is an organized thing to battle or protect, whatever. You can look at the angels like that. They're organized in a similar way. Of course, the purpose is totally different. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say there are many living entities who try to have influence on happenings on the Earth. Because they know whatever happens on the Earth has an influence on the entire universe. So there are a lot of interest. As you know, when someone, there seems to be a big potential of knowledge or sources or money, there are many, many different people who show great interest. And unfortunately, not all of them have, you know, pure motivations. So whatever bumps or into us or whatever situations we may face does not necessarily always have the pure angels behind. As I said, we have to be wearing good spectacles, good glasses in order to be able to differentiate. Is it really coming from a pure-hearted, selfless, motivated, loving angel, or is it coming from a so-called ghost or spirit? Because even if, let's say, we are able to see, perceive forms of angels, ghosts and spirits can take up any form they like.
So if someone says, an angel appeared to me, this can happen.
This can happen, yeah. But very seldom. Normally, human beings are not able to perceive those more subtle forms.
Do they really have wings? Or is this just just a notion?
Within those groups, angels also take up different shapes. They have, like any kind of spirit, the ability to fly within the universe very quickly. Mm. And human imagination is, of course, in order to fly, you must have wings. They don't have wings, but they can have wings.
And they can appear, they depict themselves as having wings.
You see, it's also many groups, traditions have access directly or indirectly through these more divine helpers. And according to a tradition, they paint them.
Okay, we're talking, we have talked quite a bit about angels. And they're a very special kind of spirit, highly developed spirits who are here to help us and are in, we could say, the mode of goodness, definitely. But now we get this popular term, a ghost. And of course, when most of us hear the term ghost, we think of apparitions, horror movies. And there, these are not necessarily good spirits. I think in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, they were very helpful and they were very good ghosts that appeared. On the other hand, we understand, or we have the notion, that sometimes very negative entities can be a ghost. They can even cause us physical harm. Are we starting to get into the area of demons as well here? Maybe we should first deal with ghosts. What is a ghost or an apparition?
When the soul leaves the body, the soul is accompanied by the subtle body. And when
this is a layer of body, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
So when the soul is free or freed from the gross physical body, and is just, let's say, covered with a subtle body, the term ghost would be right, or spirit in that sense. They're free from the gross physical body, and they have, because of the freedom of that physical body, they have more freedom. They can travel. However, they're also controlled by higher ghosts or living entities. Now, there are also, as among human beings, different consciousness. And some just love to cause trouble to others. And especially when they're now in that more free physical form, without the gross physical form, with the subtle physical element, they can travel, they can manifest themselves within the body of others, or at least they can try. Some is just for amusement, some is because they just love to cause suffering to others. And some are just a naturally dead, so to say. And when someone dies and is not a very illuminated or spiritually evolved person, there's a natural attachment to the old physical body he or she was living in and also to the surrounding he or she was living. And it's a little bit trying to hover. They may hover above the grave stones, how is it called?
In the graveyard, the cemeteries.
They also may try to have some contact, some communication with their families or relatives.
They're not evil. They're not necessarily
going to
hurt us.
No, it's just the attachment.
Yeah.
And of course, they're now not in a position to communicate in a normal way. And some of them, the relatives are already mourning and in a sad consciousness, feel the presence of them, but the communication, because they're themselves not very subtle or maybe trained to have the communication with them, are just bewildered. So it's just a natural attachment. And there,
these are the so-called earthbound spirits.
Yeah, you can call them like that.
Yeah.
Just the natural goes from those who died. And some of them have developed already high powers in this life, mystical powers, and have certain motivations and ideas. And when they are in that more liberal state, physically talking liberate state, they make, of course, great fun causing trouble to others.
Do you believe a spiritualist medium when he or she says, I can communicate with the spirits?
I believe that that exists, that some people have the ability. I once heard from a friend that about 80% of those people claiming to have access to the higher world, having access to dead people and spirits like that, are cheaters. Some consciously and some just think in their imagination.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah, they consider they have a contact, it's just their own mind blurring certain ideas there. So, but I'm personally convinced that exists. Yeah.
But can these ghosts, I mean, actually be seen? I mean, if we hear stories of people walking by graveyards, they see lights, they see apparitions. These stories must come from somewhere.
It's again there, some people have the ability to see more subtle things, some it's just the imagination. You know so many things when you don't know what it is and you're fearful. A little noise can already mean for you something completely different, although it's just maybe something totally natural. So there, it's as soon as you reach those more subtle areas where the normal senses are not able to grasp things in a logical way, then the fantasy always plays an important role. But for me, there is no doubt that certain people have the ability to see directly or indirectly those spirits.
The spiritualists, again, will say that the character of the departed soul remains. They don't change. They were the same as they were when they were here in their bodies. And we have all kinds of people, as you say. Some are mischievous, some are saintly, or some are kind, some are less kind. And so we meet all kinds in the spirit world. But then we have the special category, and I think everyone knows what we're talking about here, when we say a demon. Now, this is not something positive. What is a demon?
It's someone who's... There are two groups. Some are influenced by demoniac thoughts and ideas, and that's unfortunately something you happen to meet all over again. And the demon itself, who's like a pure-hearted, 100% convinced personality with a demoniac character, he has different notions, so to say. One is he considers himself totally independent of any higher order or guidance or God or something like that.
Like Satan, for example.
For example, yeah. Then the second element is that he believes that with his own strength and power he controls or he can control. It's just a question of time and manipulation and being able and carry on with determination everything and everyone he wants. And he minimizes everything which happens on a pure physical and casual course. He doesn't see any higher cause behind it, a higher intelligence. Even Lord Krishna talks about them in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. They think sex is the cause of everything. Of course, externally, man and husband, wife and husband unite, and then a child appears. Externally, that's just the activity of sex. However, what happens that the seed goes into the womb and develops into a human being, there are different other elements involved. But if someone who looks at things very grossly and very superficially just sees an act of sex, period. It's a pure physical
thing. So in other words, a demon would be, in effect, a negative influence saying, sex is the message. Have lots of recreational sex, enjoy yourself, eat, drink, and be merry. The things that tend to detach us and bring us farther away from spiritual principles. This is the realm of the demon. Is that an oversimplification?
I would call it the realm of those who have demoniac mentality. The pure hedonistic lifestyle, but you just, as you mentioned before, if that's the only purpose
of your thing,
of life,
just do it,
that you could consider a demoniac element. It's very rare, according to the Vedas, to find, hardcore demons. Very, very rare. They're 1 or maximum 2% of the population. However, sometimes it's their time and have a lot of influence on people. And many people, as I said before, are influenced by this hedonistic, demoniac, egoistic, narcissistic elements where it just causes you and your satisfaction, and you don't mind if others have to suffer. The main thing is that you are happy. That's a demoniac element.
These entities exist, but should we seek contact with them?
It can be very bewildering. Some people have a very simple nature, and for them exists God, and they relate and communicate with Him. For some people, that's not enough. They want to see the universe between us and God. And this universe is huge, with, as I indicated before, with many different kinds of living entities in a higher, more subtle realm. And in order for completeness, sometimes also for curiosity, they want to have access and information and communication with these living entities. However, here the American or the English saying, curiosity kills the cat, should be indicated as well. It is dangerous. It's like, let's say you feel yourself lonely and you're looking for some company and you're going in certain circles where many people are around and you open yourself to find friends, people, and other people may notice, here's a girl around, or here is a man around who feels lonely and he's looking for someone, and they come to you and present themselves as being very nice and kind and interested in giving you so many things, but ultimately you might find out they just want to take advantage of your situation, cheat you, etc. So as soon as we open ourselves to these more higher spirits with, good or bad, we have to be very, very careful to make sure that themselves servants of the Lord, servants of the light, they're there to assist. But once you're in that element, you have to always know nothing is free. You have to pay your price for it. They're not just doing out of kindness, except angels and other purely motivated living entities, but even spirits who are good-hearted, they need something in return. The price, you may not be aware, because at the moment, the quick result you want to have, you cannot achieve it through the physical work, so you want to do some shortcut, get the blessing of one of those spirits and think through their arrangements, and as I mentioned before, a mercy blessing, you can get the quick result. You don't want to work in the more physical element, you have to pay your price for it, which depends. Sometimes it's a high price, sometimes it's just that you have to offer them some prayers, some ceremonies in order to help them advance. Sometimes they need your body for other things. They need your energy for certain things. So you're not getting a shortcut by working with those people, but you may get some additional information. But as I said, once you open yourself for getting help from the so-called white magic sources, also you have to be aware it's not for free. So I recommend generally that unless you're very, very strong and you know what you're doing and you're protected by friends who know you and are in contact with even higher sources, leave your fingers, because it can be quite dangerous.
We hear a lot about possession, and we usually think this is a demonic entity taking over, but can any of these invisible entities possess us?
When you go into this more psychic healing, all these people who do that, who have no education, they go first in trance, they say Dr. Fritz or whoever they're in contact with takes possession of them, they speak in a different voice, they can give the patient the exact remedy the patient requires, they can do operations, but they're in the hands of someone else. They're used, their body is used as an instrument by some so-called good-hearted, well-meaning spirit who has more knowledge because they're the beyond the dimensions we have here. However, as I said, these people who become instruments like that often also are quite worn out because they take energy, they require energy, those spirits.
But also, isn't there a serious danger? And you mentioned it before, know the spirits, you know. Test ye the spirits to know they are of God or good. And you could wind up being offering yourself to a demonic entity. How do we know?
You can only know by motivation and the purity from yourself, because these people are much more, or these living entities are much more able to take up any form and shape they want and can fool us if you're inexperienced. That's why I said in the beginning, if you're not well experienced, very pure in your heart, because you don't want any cheap, quick result, you may use certain help from above, from your service to God and humanity, better leave your fingers off, because generally the price is too high. Once you open yourself for those subtle energies, and it can also bring something like addiction, as people who experience with drug or alcohol, something like that, because you get something which you ordinarily not get, and that makes you quite attached to it. So I know people who work with them, who deal with them, and some of them have remained strong for a long time, but I've seen in most cases, sooner or later they get into trouble. It's just too tempting what you can get from them. And many people are sometimes lost in that huge universe of fancy powers and higher intelligence and mystical experiences, and they think that's it. That's maybe a stepping stone for your higher development. But generally, I would say, keep your fingers away from it.
Well, we know about devils and demons trying to tempt us. This is, of course, very much in Western religion. But on the other hand, you're saying that even the so-called good spirits can tempt us, and they want something back. No free lunch, in other words, as they say.
It's a natural weakness conditioned souls have, and you don't expect that you get something for free. You're also not disappointed that one day the bill will come. And also just,
and this could bring sorrow in one's life, or
course,
tragedy even.
Yeah. And when you said that demons and devils are tempting us, as we know from the Western religion, I wouldn't give them the blame. Give the blame to us.
Free will and free choice.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, and again, we have to repeat it, in your view, stay away from spiritualism, stay away from seances, stay away from people, even if they can perform these things. It's better to keep a healthy distance between us and the unseen world. One final question, though, Gorilina. We all want to know. Are we being watched constantly by all of these entities? Do we have no privacy at all?
The Big Brother is watching us. They have the ability to watch us constantly. However, they also respect if they're not just curious, bad-minded spirits. Although they have the ability, the normal ones, to watch every second we do, every thought we have, they also want to respect our privacy, and also they're not too interested to know every detail because they know how humans are. For them, generally, nothing is a secret. So, as I said, generally it could be, but often these kind of people are not too eager to watch every minute from us. However, they keep like a distant look. It's like a mother who's watching her child. It's not that 24 hours she keeps 1 meter distance and watches every simple move, but she keeps a certain distance when she knows child could be in danger, child is not yet old enough or mature enough. She keeps a little distance on it. And the more that child grows, the more self-sufficient the child can be, the more freedom you also get.